Okay, hello everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Jim Fear 138 podcast. I'm really sorry about last week. That shit just pissed me off so bad. I had to address it. But this week we're going to talk about fun shit. So let me get into this. Drive. So what I have planned, first off, I owe a very sincere apology to Donald, and I really hope I'm pronouncing your name right, dude. I really hope I'm pronouncing your name right. Donald J. Eichflucht, I think is how you pronounce Eichflucht. For those of you who don't know who DJ, just to kind of make this a little bit easier on me, those of you who don't know who DJ is, he's a writer I first encountered on Twitter via following like Kirsova and a couple of other people who kind of run in that Appendix N pulp writing, you know, magazine circle, which I'm finding is full of great people with awesome book recommendations. DJ is a writer. Donald is a writer. One of his stories is in Kirsova Volume 1. I remember it was The Hour of the Rat. That was it. The Hour of the Rat was one of his stories that was in Kirsova Volume 1. That was my first introduction to his work. And I was very impressed. It was a very good story. So, it turns out that he's got another story out. And if you want to help the guy out, then you should go look up... I've got his Twitter right here. I'll just scroll up until I find the goddamn thing. Let's go to tweets. I'll find it. Serpent's Heart? No, that wasn't it. Witch Queens. Yeah, I'm sorry that this doesn't have, here we go, found it. It's called In the Days of the Witch Queens, Tales from the Veldt, Book 1. And it's more of a novella. It's 99 cents. It's just on Kindle. I highly recommend you go pick it up. You can, if you don't have a Kindle and you don't want to spend the like $150-$200 to get a Kindle, you can download the Kindle app for free on your smartphone, and you can do your reading there. If you've got like a 6 or 7 iPhone, then the screen will be plenty big enough to read on. I used like a 4 for the longest fucking time, and reading was such a headache. But, like I say, the link will be in the description. This is a story about anthropomorphized? I always forget how to pronounce. Anthroed lions. Okay, so it's like lion people. And they're a very primitive tribal culture, and they're ruled by, as the title says, witch queens. And it's very, very well done. Like, I can't heap enough praise on this. I wrote a review on this for Amazon. This is actually the first Amazon review I ever wrote. So, there you go, Donald. You got me to actually write a review on Amazon. I don't do iTunes reviews, I don't do Amazon reviews, but for this, yeah. Definitely deserves a good review. Go buy this, guys. It's a buck. It's a fucking buck. You won't regret it. If you don't like it, then you didn't really lose anything. But if you're a fantasy fan and you prefer stories that get back to the old school fantasy, that aren't trying to preach a message, like you listen to some, and I'm absolutely going to start tearing into them just about every single fucking podcast because fuck these people. You listen to some faggot bullshit like Podcastle. You know, and I'm attacking Podcastle because they're affiliate. They're one of Escape Artists' podcasts, but they're the fantasy podcast thing. Just about every single story, and they do publish some good stories. You know, I'm not knocking the authors that they get. Well, not all of them. They do publish some good stories, but just about every single fucking story that they have is trying to teach you something. It's explicitly trying to use the fiction to influence your thought about something, or make a point, or, you know, preach, or some shit like that. And it was just, some of them were so fucking hard to listen to. Like, occasionally you had some really good stories, but for the most part, it's just kind of middling to bad. With the occasional really fucking good story in there. This is better than just about everything I've listened to on Podcastle. With the possible exception of that one story about the unicorn. That story was really touching. Just because I've gone through a situation like what the person in the story was going through. And it really kind of hit me where I live. But, In the Days of the Witch Queens is some good old sword and sorcery, badass, you know, heroes and sacrifice and magic and not real. Well, I mean, there's kind of defined evil, but at the same time, the hero isn't exactly doing this for the greater good. He's not wrapped up in this, I must save the universe kind of shit, or I have to save the world. It's not that epic, and it doesn't need to be. That's something that a lot of fantasy forgets nowadays, especially epic fantasy. Everybody thinks they have to be Michael Moorcock. You know, Michael Moorcock came out and he did this really cool shit with Elric and, like, saving the world and destroying the world and shit like that. And then everybody who came after Michael Moorcock was like, oh my god, my shit has to just be the biggest fucking thing ever, and it's the end of the it's like Dragon Ball Z. You know, every single thing that comes out has to top the last thing that comes out in terms of scale. And eventually it gets to the point where Goku is literally fighting ancient gods. And it's like, well, where the fuck are you people gonna go from here? This is very tightly focused fiction. It's not trying to save the world. The dude in this story wants revenge. That's it. Period. The end. He has no grand, high morals. He has no overarching noble goal to take down this evil witch queen who's gathering her army. He wants revenge. Plain and fucking simple. And it's an awesome story, and I highly recommend you guys go look it up. So, because Donald's last name is very hard to spell, and I wouldn't be able to spell it unless I was looking at it right here. It's spelled UITVLUGT. And it's apparently pronounced Eichflucht. Don't ask me. You know, I'm just as confused as anybody else. I mean, it looks really cool. It's a cool looking last name, but I have no idea how you get Eichflucht out of that. I guess it's just a language that I have no experience with. But, yeah, the story will be linked in the description down there in the show notes. So go and pick this book up, guys. It's good shit. It's good shit. Got the Jim Fear seal of approval. Even got me to write a fucking review on Amazon for it. Go buy it. This isn't, well, maybe you should. No, go buy it. Go buy it. It's not long. It'll take you, like, I don't know, an hour, if that, to read. Like I say, it's a novella. It's not, I don't think this one's even as long as, like, At the Mountains of Madness, or it's definitely not as long as, something like Dream Quest of Unknown Kadath. And I'm just using those as a length, you know, a novella length judge. They're, so far as themes and world building and all of that shit, none of it is similar at all. But so far as length, it's not as long as those, so it's not going to take you a couple of days to read this. It's like an hour, maybe two, depending on how fast you read. And he's got a bunch of new stories coming out at the end of the year and on into the next year. So keep an eye on this guy. He's up and coming. He's, like, so far as I can tell, he's just getting started, so far as publishing goes. I'm telling you, dude. I'm telling you. You need to get this on paperback and audio. I'll hook you up. I'll do the audio version for you. It's not all that long. It's not gonna cost that much. I swear to God. It wouldn't cost that much. It would probably be like around $200, depending. I'd have to get like, well, hang on. I think I got my phone right here. Let me see. Let me get some more. I'm drinking beer tonight. I got pulled over. Well, I didn't get pulled over. There was a fucking traffic jam. Somebody just absolutely destroyed this fucking car. And I was backed up on the interstate for like an hour straight, just sat still. So eventually I got to the nearest exit, and we had already passed the accident and everybody was fucking moving, but I was just like, nope, I need to go hit up the gas station. So I went and got the gas station, and I got me some beer, and now that I'm home, I'm having me a beer. Don't drink and drive, kids. So let me see here. Does this have about this book? Maybe we can. Yeah. Okay. So it's 32 pages long. 32 pages long, less than 30 minutes to read. That at my rate, that'll run you like, I don't know, maybe $90. I'll do the fucking audio version of this for like under $100. Like I say, I'll hook you up. You just need to get this in as many people's pockets as possible. Like, put out a fucking pamphlet version or whatever the fuck. However, CreateSpace runs their shit if you want to go through CreateSpace. You need to get this in paperback. You need to get this in audio. As many places as you can sell this, you need to be selling it. Because your fiction is too fucking good to just languish as a Kindle book. As just one of these self-published ebooks that, you know, like me and 15 other people are going to read. You need to get this out there, man. And you did a good start with Kirsova. Like, that story is really fucking good. I can't wait to read the rest of your fit. Like, I don't care if it's more Velt books or the Assassin Girl books that you're going to be bringing out. Yes, this guy, go watch his fucking career, guys, and get this shit into audio. And even if you don't go with me to do the audio version, man, like, get it into audio, get it into paperback. You got to give people fucking options, because some people just will not do Kindle. They just will not do ebooks. They just absolutely despise ebooks. And paperback is the only way they're going to read it. But that's the problem I'm having right now with this series that I'm going to get into here in a minute after I stop pimping your shit, is I really want to get my brother into these books, because I know that he would fucking love the story, and it would just, like, he would just devour these books just like I've been doing. But it's impossible to find these books because they're out of print. Like, they just went out of print last year. And the very first story, it was published, like, the first book in, like, publishing order was published in 86. The very first story in the series was published in 99. That book that was published in 99, the cheapest version of that book out on the market right now is $60, including shipping and handling. Maybe a little bit less, but it's around 60 fucking bucks just for this book. And if I'm paying $60 for a fucking book, I'm not reading it. I'm putting it on I'm putting it in a glass fucking case. You know what I mean? So just get this up on paperback. All right, and then with the audio, there's going to be people like Aaron Clary who just do not read. They just hate sitting down with a book. It's boring, their mind wanders, they fall asleep, but they can do their workout, or they can go for a walk, or they can do mindless repetitive shit at work like I do, and listen to audiobooks. So if you want to make some serious money with this, then you need to start you know, get this into other formats, get this into as many formats as possible. And then when you do a, if you do this per story, then when you finally put out the anthology, as I'm assuming you're going to, because like novellas and anthologies are like, you know, peas and carrots. When you put them out into the anthology, you'll be able to just have everything wrapped up. You'll have all of the shit, all of the writing is going to be good for the ebook anthology and the paperback anthology, and you'll already have all of the audio files. So you could do what they did with the Fofford and the Grey Mouser audiobooks over on Audible. They have the like Swords and Deviltry and Swords Against Death collections, but they also have all of the individual stories up on Audible. So if I don't want to buy the whole book, I can just buy a couple of stories out of it for like $2 each. I'm telling you, man, you got to give people as many, like, scarcity does create demand, but with that kind of, like, that just never made sense to me. Why take shit down? Like, Night Vale has had shit on their store, or Kali and Noir right now is doing, like, he's got, like, the Pew Pew Life hats and shirts and coffee mugs and shit like that, and he's taking the store down. And it's not like it's a something that he has to have, you know, pony up money for. It's like a Teespring or something. So why not just keep the fucking store up and let people buy them? I guarantee you, as your audience grows, more people are going to buy this shit. So, like, that shit never made fucking sense to me. Especially if you're working on the fucking internet. Why are you going to put out, like, limited edition shit for your patrons? Yeah, cool, fine. Those people are directly monetary. Like, they're just giving you money because they like what you do. They're not paying for anything. They're giving you money. They're being a patron, like an old school, you know, I am a wealthy landowner. I take this artist into my house and I finance his art because I like what he does. That's what Patreon is. Except nobody's a wealthy landowner anymore. It's just a bunch of poor people giving like $2 a month. And goddamn, I'm rambling. But yeah, get this shit. Go buy it, guys. Go buy it. I really fucking enjoyed this story, and I'm gonna stop yammering on about this. But yeah, you can also follow him on Twitter at HaikuFictionDJU. HaikuFictionDJU. Once again, links in the description. Check the show notes. It's all down there. Go click on those links, or I will fucking find you. Okay? So, Donald, I'm sorry that I didn't get to this last week, but I hope that this damn near 20-minute promo at the top of the podcast makes up for it, because this guy's got really good books, guys. He's got really good stories. You should go buy the first issue of Kirsova with his Hour of the Rat story in it. Get in the Days of the Witch Queens and keep an eye on this guy. Follow him on Twitter. He'll release tweets every time he releases a new book. Go buy this guy's shit. Trust me. You're not going to regret it. So, let's move on. How did I... I had a fucking list. Like I say, I've been keeping a list and checking it twice, and I got a bunch of fucking paper in my pocket. The fuck else did I want to talk about this week? Did that. Those books that I was talking about, the fucking $60 book. I'm fucking obsessed with the Deathlands, guys. Deathlands is the coolest shit. It is fucking incredible. Like, it is the most 80s thing I have ever fucking come across. It is brilliant. And unfortunately, unless you want to pay out the ass, because honestly, most of the Deathlands books are pretty cheap. It's just when you get into, like, Encounter, which is Deathlands Zero. When you get into Encounter, you can pay like $14 at Graphic Audio and get the audio version of it, which, as always with Graphic Audio stuff, it's very well put together. The story quality with Graphic Audio kind of varies from story to story, but you're never going to get a bad product from those guys. You're never going to get shoddy voice acting, shoddy music, you know, bad special effects. There was one time where they mentioned, like, it was actually in one of the Deathlands audio dramas that they put together. They mentioned the name of a gun, and, you know, he fired with his insert name of the gun here. I don't remember the name of the gun. And it sounded like a fucking pea shooter going off. And I was like, no, dude, like, that gun model is way louder than that. And that was one of the problems. Like, if you go watch Kalia Noir on Steven Crowder's podcast, it was fucking hilarious because it was so true. Once you learn about guns, it just ruins Hollywood. Like, action movies are completely fucking ruined for you because you're like, you're just watching the guns and it's like, oh, did they get that right? No, there's no way that gun holds that many bullets. Like, I was doing this the other night. There's the Deathlands movie, it turns out. And I've been trying to find it. I even found a torrent for it because no one cares about this shit. But it has been at like 57.6% for days now. So I just got fucking frustrated and I went and looked up a streaming site and I managed to find it. So you can find it on the internet. I just don't know where you can download it, which is what I want to do. But I watched it, and, like, there's one part where they pop out of the Sekwagon, and Christy looks up at a tower, and there's guys with machine guns just lighting them up. And she, like, pops out of the Sekwagon and points a six-shooter at these guys in a tower, and, like, bam! Just one shot. Boom! And the guy's, ah! He falls out of the fucking tower. And I'm like, there's no fucking way that gun is that accurate at that distance. No fucking way in hell. Like, six shooters, unless it's like some unrealistic caliber or it's got a huge long barrel, six shooters just aren't that accurate at range. Those are like card table guns. I mean, you could get away with using one at range, but you'd really be better off with a rifle, honestly. Especially at range like that. So, yeah, he's right. Learning about guns does kind of ruin Hollywood for you. But, as if Hollywood wasn't already ruined. But, yeah, the Deathlands is kick-ass. So the basic premise, and I'm doing a write-up for my website. It's probably going to go up on dimensionbucket.com first. But they're doing a Halloween thing right now with the whole It Arrives thing, and they haven't really explained to me what all is going on. They're keeping this a secret even from me, because Connor and Chris have got together, and they've started making plans, and it's kind of scary to watch. But, after Halloween, I'm going to be publishing this Deathlands review that I'm putting together. And because the story is so sprawling, and it really is a modern-day Odyssey kind of thing, it's just going to be a review of, like, the setting and the writing. You know, and because I'm doing the graphic audio version, because I don't want to have to pay out the ass for shipping and handling on the books. And I don't have fucking time to read anymore. Like, I barely have time to read anymore, guys. I've got too much shit to read and listen to and not enough time to do it. Like, I'm supposed to be doing the Deathlands review. I've got a review of Swords Against Death, the second Fafhrd and the Grey Mauser series that I'm supposed to be doing. I'm, like, halfway done with the audiobook. I've got too much shit that... And then I got all of these fucking podcasts that I listen to. And too much to do, not enough time. But... Yeah, so basically, like, the world, just to give you a quick rundown, the world has died in nuclear fire, kind of the fallout thing, and there's, like, it's, like, 100 years after nuclear winter has been and gone, and now the world is kind of getting back on its feet, and it's really barbaric, it's, like, a second Dark Ages, and with guns. It's second Dark Ages with guns. There you go. And... It focuses, the first couple of stories focus on this guy called Traitor. and his team of people, like Ryan, J.B. Dix. Eventually, Christy joins the team. I think that happens in book one. But if you start at zero like I did, then it's just like Ryan, J.B., Hunniker, and a couple of other people. And the characters are all very lovable people. They're real people. And there's no message to this, so it doesn't get bogged down at all. It's just action beat after action beat after action beat after action beat after action beat. My only gripe with the series, and it's not really a gripe because it opens them up to deal with certain heavy subjects, but my only gripe is that they don't shy away from the sex scenes. Like, they get down, they describe everything. And it's not like a blue novel, you know, it's not like this is just straight fun. It's like every once in a while, like once a book or so, there will be a sex scene or something that borders on a sex scene, something that's not appropriate for young kids. But because the writer doesn't shy away from that kind of shit and gets like right into it, then it opens him up to deal with uncomfortable subjects like rape. And in the second book, there's even a woman-on-man rape scene. And it's taken just as seriously. It's not made out to be a joke. It actually gave me a lot of fucking respect for the author that he didn't make that into a joke. It was like this really horrific thing. And all of these subjects are treated with the proper gravity. But it doesn't linger on any one thing for too long. Like, this story's main purpose, it seems, is to just get on to the next action bit. Whether it be them figuring out where they have to go next, or trying to figure out ancient technology, or fighting off mutants, or, you know, fucking, or whatever. It moves really fucking fast. And it's absolutely worth the money, and I highly recommend the graphic audio adaptations. Those are some seriously good shit, guys. So, I know it's not really scary. I mean, there are certain parts of it that are kind of scary, kind of freaky. Like, the mutants. Mutants are kind of freaky. Especially the feral mutants. Like, there's mutants that are cool and, like, integrate into human society, and they're fine. They're like, regular people. They just look weird. And then there's, like, the savage mutants that will, like, eat you. Literally. Like, they will kill you and eat you. So there are certain parts of it where it's like that scene from The Gunslinger when they're in the mine dealing with the slow mutants. But for the most part, mutants are cool. They're just used as enemies. I guess because it was easy. I mean, what's a fucking nuclear holocaust without mutants? Just, even Fallout has the super mutants. It's just one of them things. If you're gonna do that, you're gonna do a nuclear holocaust story, you gotta have mutants. Got to. So yeah, I'll put links to the Graphic Audio's thing in the description. You should all go check it out. If you want to look up the books, you will not find these in ebook. I've looked. I've tried, trust me, because I want to buy them and get my brother into them, but I'd wind up having to spend a bunch on shipping and handling, and I'm not really feeling that at the moment. Especially when I can just pay Graphic Audio like $14, and I get the free download, or I get the download of all of the whole fucking story. It's already broken up into different chapters, you know, different MP3s per chapter. They give you a zip file, and it's a lot more convenient, and you're getting a lot more bang for your buck. Like, it's absolutely worth the $14 because of all of the work that went into it. And because they make so much money, they're able to charge $14 for every story. Every story is $14. There are audiobooks out there that are of comparable length to the Graphic Audio adaptations that have a quarter of the work and, like, four times the price. So Go check out Graphic Audio. I cannot recommend Graphic Audio enough. That's what I aspire to be. as a audio drama producer. Like, that's my eventual goal, is to have a production company like that and be producing stories in that fashion. But yeah, okay, so let's get down to some Halloween shit. I figured that since there's not really a whole lot that I can do for Halloween other than change up my theme music, from Kevin MacLeod to this nice music that was provided by Dimension Bucket a while back for my creepypasta narrations, I'm going to go through my horror movie collection. I'm going to give you guys some kick-ass movie recommendations that you can find these, like, on torrent or whatever, and you can download them and watch them with your friends on Halloween, just get drunk, have some scary movies. So, I recommend the Critters movies. Critters movies are awesome. They're about these little fuzzball aliens with huge mouths, and they're just voracious. It's kind of a horror comedy, because the monsters talk shit, but they're like the size of your fist. They're like really small. They're like little fuzzballs, and they terrorize the absolute dog shit out of this town, and it's brilliant. Very 80s. Been a while since I watched the Critters movies. I'm gonna have to go check those out here in a little while. But, of course there's the Evil Dead, and if you haven't seen the Evil Dead, and I'm not talking about the new one, I'm not talking about the remake, I'm talking about the original Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, and Army of Darkness, okay? You gotta go see the originals. I haven't seen the new one, because honestly, I can't be fucked, I don't care. Like, the originals were, like, really, really fucking good horror comedies. They were really scary, they were really funny. And it tread that line between horror and comedy very fucking well. Like, it was trying to get out of a DUI. And it was also back when Bruce Campbell was really young. Like, that was what jump-started his career, was the Evil Dead movie. So if you're watching, like, Ash versus the Evil Dead now, go back and look up the original Evil Dead movies. It's just Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, and Army of Darkness. And Evil Dead 2 is kind of Evil Dead 1 all over again, but they changed a whole lot of stuff, so and Ash is older, and he's got a new girlfriend, so it's like alternate universe, or, you know, it could be a sequel, but in that case, like, why the fuck did he go back to this cabin? And you'll get that if you watch the first movie. But, it's still a really fucking good movie. The second one is the best one. Okay, I'll just go ahead and say it right now. I really like the first one, but the second one is the best one. That's when they really got their shit together with their special effects and their makeup and their acting and all of the shit that goes into one of these movies. That was when they were just on top of their fucking game. So, but the first one is really good, and the third one is more of like an action horror comedy. Ash gets pulled into the medieval ages, and he's having to fight the Deadites back then, and I think he meets King Arthur and shit. So, I don't know. That one, you might like it, you might not. I know some people who really like the first two and don't like that one. They're more, like, classic horror fans. I really like all three of the movies, so it's up to you. But I recommend those for Halloween. That's really good, marathon right there. That'll keep you for about 6 hours. Grave Encounters. Grave Encounters is the best found fiction movie ever. Okay? Fuck your Blair Witch Project. Fuck your Skinwalker Ranch. Fuck what was the one that recently came out in theaters? Came out like a year or so ago. Oh, fuck. It was the one in France where they went under the catacombs in Paris. And they wound up going to hell. Like, that movie was okay, but there were certain parts of it that just broke the immersion. There's nothing in Grave Encounters that breaks immersion. It's brilliant. It's about this group of ghost hunters. Like, they're like those faggy people who were on, like History Channel's Ghost Hunters TV shows, and they find out about this haunting in this abandoned mental asylum, and they go there and they spend the night, And eventually it turns out that this place is actually haunted, and it's trapped them there. And there is no getting out. Like, they do not make it out. At the end of this movie does not have a happy ending. They don't get out. So, yeah, and all kinds of crazy shit happens to these fucking people. It's a really good, paranormal, ghost flick, you know, like, poltergeist flick. So, Grave Encounters is fucking awesome. Go watch Grave Encounters. Okay, if you're, like, a fan of just weird fucking movies, like, just weird horror movies, you would like The Beyond. Not From Beyond, The Beyond, by Lucio Fulci. Now, Lucio Fulci is a classic Italian horror director. He's been doing horror, like, almost his entire career. His first few movies are just a bunch of different random shit. I think he did, like, some spaghetti westerns. And then he started doing horror really seriously. And he's really into body horror. So this movie is not exactly for the faint of heart. It, like, if you can't take, like, the transformation sequence in American Werewolf in London. Or was it Paris? I want to say London. Sorry, I've been drinking. If you can't take the transformation sequence in that movie, you're probably not going to dig this movie. Like, it starts off with a guy getting crucified. Like, he gets nailed to a fucking wall. And they do, like, real up close. Like, they put the fucking nail right on his wrist and just boom! Right into the fucking wall, and blood wells up and everything like that. And there's one part where this guy falls and basically he breaks his back. He falls in a library and breaks his back. And then all of these spiders, like these big tarantulas, and they got real spiders for it, but when they actually started, like, biting him and attacking him, it's obviously fake spiders. But, he's got, like, all these spiders start crawling out of the woodwork, and they just start crawling all up over this dude, and all over his face and shit like that, and, one of them, like, starts biting down on his tongue and rips his tongue out and shit like that, and it's pretty grody. Pretty grody, not gonna lie. Like I said, not for the faint of heart. And it doesn't make sense. Like, this movie actively defies you to fucking make sense of it. Actively. It is purposefully, like most of Fulci's movies, it is purposefully made to not make sense. It's just the way this fucking movie is. So, don't go into this expecting a cohesive narrative. Don't go into it expecting this movie to make sense. Go into it expecting really good body horror. There you go. it's got my recommendation. It's one of my favorite movies. I really like Fulci's stuff. That one is a really good one. Phantasm. Now, I've raved about the Phantasm movies on here before. The second one is my favorite. There's mostly because it's more 80s. It really is more 80s, and I'm a really big fan of 80s-style movies. But, and that's the one where Reggie gets it shoddy. But they kept the whole crew for the entire movie. Like, all of the actors, except for one. I think the kid from the first movie got into a coma. He got into a car accident. And he was in a coma for a while, and they went ahead and just made the second movie anyway, and they got someone who kind of looked like him a little bit grown up. And then in the third movie, the guy woke up, and he's been in a coma. So, like, in the second movie, the guy who played the kid was buff as shit, just jacked. And in the third movie, he's, like, all skinny and rail thin, because he just woke up from a fucking coma. And it makes no sense. They don't even try to address that, I don't believe. but the first movie is very 70s horror. It concentrates mostly on psychological horror. What you don't see is scarier than what you see, kind of thing. But there also are several really good moments where, like, the little seeker drone ball things that he has, like, it nails this priest's hand to his forehead and then drills through his hand and into his head and sucks his fucking brains out and shit. You'll get your fair share of body horror in the Phantasm movies. But really, you want to watch these movies for the cohesive narrative that goes across all four of the movies. I think there was even a game, like a role-playing game, that came out of these movies for a little while. I have yet to look it up, so don't quote me on that, but I remember hearing about it. But yeah, Phantasm movies, awesome fucking horror series, great, great Halloween, great Halloween choice. Let me see. Okay, there's a movie out there that came out in 2013 called Skinwalker Ranch. Okay, now if you know anything about Skinwalker Ranch, if you've been following like the Whatcast or Astonishing Legends, they both did episodes on Skinwalker Ranch. Go listen to those podcast episodes. Do not waste your time on the movie. The movie sucks. The movie is a found footage movie, and it makes zero sense. And it takes so fucking long to get going. Like, you're halfway through the movie and nobody's died. I mean, literally, halfway through the movie and nobody's died yet. And then nobody continues to die. All of these people continue to stay alive just to spite you. And then, like, at the very end of the fucking movie, like, within the last 5 minutes of the movie, everybody gets taken out. Just, they all get axed. They fucking dead. And then it turns out it's aliens. Like, now, see, I didn't know about this when I watched a movie, but apparently that's actually the story of Skinwalker Ranch. There's a lot of UFO activity, supposedly, out there. Very weird shit happens at Skinwalker Ranch. But, the movie just sucks. It's not entertaining. Like, if you're really into the Skinwalker Ranch story, you might like the movie. But unless you're just, like, the biggest Skinwalker Ranch nerd out there, period, do not touch this with a 10-foot fucking pole. Don't even put it on your hard drive. Don't put it on your watch list. Just skip it. Skip it. Fuck this movie. Let's see. John Dies at the End is a really fucking good movie. Made by the guy who made Phantasm, Don Coscarelli. I recommend the book, and the audiobook is really good, too. I think I raved about the audiobook when I listened to it on the podcast. But, the movie is really fucking good. The movie's what got me into the series. They changed, I mean, it's a really faithful adaptation, but they had to change some shit. So, like, entire characters just get combined or axed completely. But John Dies at the End is a really fucking good movie. I highly recommend it. Once again, horror comedy, funny movie, really scary, disturbing moments at certain parts of it. Some of it is really, really fucking creepy. So, you know, good Halloween movie if you're not looking to get freaked out that bad. Let me see, I got a bunch of one-off movies here. Galaxy of Terror. Galaxy of Terror is a good one. That actually has the guy who played Captain Spaulding in House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil's Rejects. He plays an assassin, like an intergalactic assassin with these crystal knives and shit. It's really cool. Really fucking cool. It's been years since I've watched it. I just remember really fucking liking it. And it is a science fiction horror movie. So, once again, it is not... I mean, it might not be for the faint of heart. I don't know. It depends on how faint of heart you are. But I recommend it. Good shit. May. May is a kick-ass movie. Okay? Go watch May. It's like a modern-day Frankenstein story. And it's kind of heart-rending. Because this girl is just, like, really disaffected. She has no friends. She's been shat on her entire life. And every friend she makes... Well, I'm not going to tell you. You really got to watch May. May is a good movie. That's all I'm really going to say about it. Let me sit up. There we go. Sorry, I've been doing the podcast from my bed. I'm tired. I had a long fucking day today. Let me see here. But the creepiest thing about May is the absolute ass end of the movie. the ending, the very last couple of seconds of the movie. It's all leading up to that, and the payoff is so worth it. Like, I'm not going to tell you guys what happens, but May is a really fucking well-put-together horror film, and I highly, highly recommend you go check it out. Okay. Then there is Splinter. Now, Splinter came out in 2008. It was one of those Lionsgate Film Festival. They did a couple of years there where they held horror film festivals. And they came out with some really good shit. Like, the Deaths of Ian Stone was a really good movie. And Splinter was another one. Splinter is one of those really tightly focused horror movies. There's something out in the woods that is animating corpses. And it's like a fungus or something like that. Like, you never really figure out what the thing is. You just have some conjecture from the biologist character in the movie. And it's all like college kids get... The basic premise is college kids get abducted by bank robbers. And they hole up in a gas station because the reanimated corpse of a cop is trying to kill them. It's just, it's a really, really fucking good movie. I cannot recommend that shit enough. I actually made, I want to say Doom, Right Hand of Doom, and Muse and Rougie from Laughably Dapper Productions. We sat up the other night and, we watched the first Tremors movie and then we watched Splinter. And I was so blind drunk by the end of it, I barely had any fucking idea what was going on. But, yeah, I remember them really liking Splinter. So Splinter is a really fucking good movie. Go look up Splinter. Next, we have The Deadly Spawn. The Deadly Spawn, everybody. This has some of the absolute best practical effects I have ever seen in a low-budget horror movie. Like, this is top tier. This is as good as it gets without having a professional studio backing you. As good as it gets. It's about these alien worms that come down from space and just start killing people. Now, if I remember right, The Deadly Spawn took like 10 years to film. For some reason. They just kept running into fucking problems. It took a ridiculous amount of time. I don't know if it was 10 years. But it took a ridiculous amount of time to film it. So you're going to notice that certain actors have aged appreciably over the course of the movie. But... That aside, it's still a really, really fucking good movie, and if you don't pay attention to that shit, then you won't even notice. It's not that big a deal. The cats are scratching at my door. Let me see, what else can I recommend to you guys? I'm trying to keep away from, like, the classics, like Nightmare on Elm Street or Halloween. Actually, you know what, there is a Halloween movie that I will recommend. Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. Season of the Witch is one of the best Halloween movies out there. It's the only one that doesn't focus on Mike Myers, so it's a self-contained horror story. And the way that the story goes, not the movie, why this movie exists, is that John Carpenter originally intended the Halloween movies to be a different story set around Halloween. It was going to be a different horror story each movie. Mike Myers was not supposed to be the focus of the Halloween movies. But the first one was so ridiculously popular and everybody loved Mike Myers' character so much. Just the character design and how he went about his shit. Everybody blew up over it. That they made the second movie about Mike Myers as well, which they shouldn't have done. And then the third movie, they tried to go back to his original vision for the series, which was just to tell a horror story centered around Halloween, and it bombed. I mean, it fucking bombed. It was probably the worst grossing movie that John Carpenter ever made. It was very probably the worst grossing film that Carpenter ever put out. And I mean, this is a guy that made The Thing, so you know it's not a bad movie. It didn't have Mike Myers in it. It had Halloween on the title, and it didn't have Mike Myers in it, so people were in the theater, like, halfway through this fucking movie, where's Mike Myers? that was what the last two movies were about. Why is this different? And then the very next movie, they go back to the Mike Myers thing. Season of the Witch is about this guy who sells these Halloween masks to kids, and a special signal goes out through the television screen, and it kills the kids. That's the general premise of the movie, and it's about this group of people that are trying to stop him. It is so good. It is so good. Like, just fuck the idea that Halloween is attached to this. Like, it's not a Mike Myers movie, but you should watch it anyway. Let's see. Can I recommend another John Carpenter movie to you guys? Let me see. Ghosts of Mars was okay. In the Mouth of Madness, that's a really, really good H.P. Lovecraft-inspired John Carpenter movie. And it's got Dr. Alan Grant from Jurassic Park. He plays the main character who's, I want to say he was a writer, but I don't know. I don't remember what his thing was. There is a writer in the story who eventually becomes, like, able to control reality via his writing, because he's made this pact with these Cthulhu-style gods, these Cthulhu mythos gods. And, I mean, like, it's really, really heavily Cthulhu mythos-inspired, and it's a really fucking good movie. The guy, I can't remember his fucking name right now, but Dr. Grant does a really good job in that one, too. So, yeah, there you go. All right, that's the podcast, guys. My throat's starting to hurt. I got so much fucking mucus in my head. I think I'm getting sick. I can't afford to get sick. I gotta do Old Man Clary's audiobook. But you can probably hear me sniffling all night, because I'm not gonna... I meant to record this last night, but I got distracted playing, like, Civ 5 and... watching if the Emperor had a text-to-speech device. I'm just gonna cut this short. I apologize for the short one. But look up those movies that I recommended you. Oh, yeah, Prince of Darkness is another one. Prince of Darkness is a John Carpenter movie wherein Alice Cooper leads the homeless revolution and Satan is trapped in a mayonnaise jar. And if that doesn't grab you by the fucking short hairs, then nothing will. So go watch that movie. Look up these movies. You will have a kick-ass Halloween if you're like me and you don't like to go out to parties and shit like that. You just like to get together with some friends, get a little drink on, maybe smoke you a little something, you know, and have you a good night and watch you some kick-ass horror movies. You will not go wrong with the movies that I have recommended you tonight. So I've done my good deed for the fucking season. Thanks for listening, everybody. I really do appreciate it. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend and a lovely Halloween. And I apologize for the lack of editing, but like I said, I got distracted. I'm not going to have time to edit this and edit the audiobook that I'm supposed to have up by Monday. So, yeah. All right, guys. Thanks again. Check out the movies. Check out Donald Eichflute. Check out Deathlands. This has just been the Recommendation Podcast. Cool shit that I wanted to get you guys into. And a good movie list for Halloween. So there you go. Happy Halloween, everybody. Peace.